What a prayer that is. It goes pretty deep. Cleanse my thoughts, my affections, my motives. Cleanse it all, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me full and overflowing. Oh, the precious work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, you know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that is the good news this morning, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He walked on our streets and in our towns. He healed the sick. He raised up those who were lame, those who were on their sick beds. He gave them life. He forgave sins. He went to the cross. He was abused. He was shamed. He was spoken against. He was spit upon. Wrongly accused, falsely accused. And yet he hung there and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And there his blood was shed. Water and blood came out of his side. Cleansing blood, life-giving water, so that you and I might have life. Hallelujah. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, as we've been seeking the Lord together this weekend, and I bless all of you who were able to join in fasting and prayer, and even if you weren't able to join in that, that's fine. I hope in your heart you are seeking God and longing for a deeper revelation of Almighty God. And some of us here, and we've heard it different times, thinking about the things that the baggage that has dogged our steps has held us back from being released fully into what God has created us for. Things that happened to us in our past. We talked about wounds and hurts, things that were set against us. Maybe we were wrongly accused. Events that happened, lies we believed out of those things. And then We tend to live out of those lies. And then the things we face today, maybe we react to in certain ways because of things we've believed from our past. And we have found out that it doesn't work to just ignore our past and stuff it away. But we must get honest about those things that have happened. It's okay to be honest about the things that have hurt us. But if we stay living in our past, we'll never get to go forward into the future in the power of Jesus Christ. So, it's important that we are honest about the difficult things that have happened to us. It's okay to be honest. It's right to be honest about where we have been wounded and hurt. But then the key is to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into those rooms, into those places, into our story. Bringing the Lord Jesus Christ in, when Jesus comes, the cross, his cross also comes with him. And so, when I bring Jesus Christ, I invite him into my story. And I invite his cross into my story, into those places. And we allow him to do whatever it is he wants to do. And when we join our Lord Jesus on the cross, in our story, freedom begins to flow. Healing waters begin to flow over our stories. Unforgiveness, bitterness changes into forgiveness when we join our Lord Jesus on the cross. And now, And now, I get to bring nothing from my past except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I bring from my past. Oh yeah, there were hard things back there, but you see, Jesus and I, we've met in those rooms. And now the only thing I bring is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I am set to move on with Him in the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. What is the point? What is the point of me being saved if I don't become a threat to the kingdom of darkness? What is the point of me being saved if I'm just going to go hang out in my past? What is the point of me being saved if I don't become a threat to the kingdom of darkness? I want to take you to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Trevor, you can put them up on the screen. That way we can all read them together. Right in the middle of Jesus, he started there with what we call the Beatitudes there in the Sermon on the Mount. And then here is what he said. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Say it with me. I am the light of the world. When we look upon Jesus, we repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes a part of his life and he puts it within here. And suddenly that which is old becomes new. The old creation, the old man goes away, and behold, we are a new creation. We had the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, vibrating in this temple, shining out from this temple. Our bodies become a temple for the Lord Jesus, a temple for the Holy Spirit. The scriptures say, and then we are lights in this world. Shine the light. Shine the light. Another way we could look at it, you have a lake. If there's no fresh water coming into the lake and no water going out of the lake slowly becomes filthier and filthier, stagnant. There's a scum that comes over top. It slowly gets drier and drier. That's a picture of some people's lives. Then you have lakes where, the illustration of you have a lake, it's full of water. There's water coming in, none going out. And that in and of itself does not sustain life either. The Dead Sea, flow in, no flow out. And so we try to bring in the light. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord, but there's no outflow and we begin to stagnate as well. No life. Then you might have a lake where you have nothing coming in and you decide to open up the one side to let water out. And what happens? Water rushes out, the lake goes dry, and after a while you have a dry crater. The healthy lake is one that has a flow in and a flow out. You are the light of the world. What is coming out of you? Jesus said in these words in Matthew 5, you can put a bushel over the light. That is possible. You can try and cover the light. We do cover our light sometimes. I've covered the light that is within me. I've covered it with the covering of defeat. I've covered it with the covering of self-righteousness. I've covered it with the covering of sin and of pride. I've covered my light with the covering of I'm a victim. I'm getting hurt here. And the light doesn't shine brightly. And men cannot see the things I do and glorify Almighty God. They do not know that I haven't had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Shine the light. What happens when you and I walk into the room? Do you bring light? When you walk into the room, does darkness begin to cower and retreat? Does the darkness begin to complain or flee? What happens when I walk into the room? What happens when I come into a situation? You see, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He shines his light through us. But is the light shining? Light and darkness. So, when I arrive, so to speak, and I'm using this some as illustration, but when I come into the room, think about that. When I step into a group of people, when I step into a situation, do I bring a thankful heart? Is there thanksgiving on my lips? Or is there the darkness of complaining, the darkness of loving to talk about what's all wrong in the room? When I walk into the room, do I see what's all wrong? Or do I bring thanksgiving into the room? The other night, I said a little story of what Pastor Wally, guy from Saudi Arabia, mentioned here the other week at a conference he was at, and I was blessed to be there. And just another illustration came to me, and I wanted to share it with you. When the child of God wakes up in the morning, and the first words out of his mouth are thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. I get to live another day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That sends the devil scurrying to hell's emergency room with a heart attack. Every morning. Every morning. What do you bring when you come into the room? Do I build up? Do I bring things together? Or do I cause things to disintegrate? Do I love to tear down? Do I bring a rapid, unscheduled disassembly into the room? Listen, the other day, Elon Musk put a rocket off. Some of you may have read about it. And something went wrong, and they had an explosion in the air. Their crew on the ground radioed this statement: we have experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. Or in layman's terms, an explosion. I loved it. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Rapid unscheduled disassembly. Is that you when you come into the room? Is that me when I come into maybe a difficult situation? Do I cause explosions? Or do I bring together? Do I build up? Do I bring freedom into the room? Or do I bring heaviness? Do I bring peace? Or do I bring restlessness and tension? Do I bring love and clarity? Or do I bring accusation and a critical spirit? Do I love to tear down, tell you what you're doing wrong? Or do I help bring clarity? Do I bring hope or despair? Am I, are you good news? You know, we are to carry the good news, right? But we are to be also good news. When I show up at work Monday morning, am I good news? When I show up at home after work, am I good news? I love to think about that. Am I good news when I show up? Are you good news when you show up? Or do people roll their eyes when you walk in? I understand that sometimes there is reaction when light comes in contact with darkness. It's not always peace and love when light comes into contact with darkness. We see that in Jesus' life. However, most times when there's a reaction with light and darkness, it is more so among religious darkness, with religious darkness. And you can follow Jesus' footsteps and watch and see how that unpacked. The sinners, those who knew they were lost and needed saving, loved to hang out with them. Those who were self-righteous reacted when he walked into the room. And so it is today. So it is today. All right, I want to take you to the last words of Jesus, some of the last words of Jesus. You know, there's always last words is kind of a big deal when somebody is about to go and they give the last words and we put a little extra weight on those words. Here's the last words of Jesus. You can put up Matthew 28, very familiar words. We love the commands of Jesus Christ. We talk about loving our enemies. We talk about judging not, like he said in the Sermon on the Mount. We talk about not laying up treasures on earth and laying up treasures in heaven. But here's a commandment, the last words of Jesus. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This was the last commandment. One of the last commandment Jesus gave as he was here on earth, making disciples. Every believer in this room, everyone here who has the life of Jesus Christ within you has been given the job of being a disciple maker. But in order to make disciples, you must first be a disciple. Not just a believer. We call each other believers, and that's good. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, you believe there is one God, the devils also believe, and they tremble. You believe that Jesus rose from the dead, I think Satan also knows that. Not just a believer, a disciple. A disciple is one who follows, who studies the one he is following. A learner. A follower. Making disciples, folks, must be our way of life. It must be our way of life. Are we going to be obedient to Jesus Christ? And we say, we sit here and we say, oh yeah, we believe that. You know, we're a church that does missions, right? We send people here, we send people there. Our young people are going to Greece. We are here. One of the things that drew us is because this is a mission-oriented church. That is true. But what about tomorrow morning? It is right that we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But what about Monday morning on your way to work? What about when you pump gas at Sheets? What about when you walk into Walmart? Are we making disciples? What about the little ones around us? As we care for them day in and day out, am I a disciple maker? Are you a disciple maker? Shining the light. I want to take you to four calls, four cries to take the gospel, to share Jesus, to talk about Jesus and the good news to the people around. Four calls from Scripture. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. This call is a call from above, the call from heaven. We'll read these verses together. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, This is Isaiah speaking. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." The call from above, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And verse 9 says after this, "Then the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go and tell this people.'" Go and tell. The call from above. I think of Acts chapter 8. Philip is there in Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people are getting saved. He is raising up. He's healing the lame. He's healing the sick. He is casting out demons, and the gospel is just exploding in that part of Samaria. And then he had another call. A call from above. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, "Philip, arise, get up, and head south. Take the road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." The call was very specific. And there, Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch. And you know the story. A call, the call, our call. The cry of heaven, the call from above. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Go into your communities, into your streets. The call from above. And then we have the call from below. I want to tell you this story out of Luke 16. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple, fine clothes, and he fared sumptuously every day. He had abundance all around him. Out at his gate lay a beggar named Lazarus. His body was full of sores. Lazarus wished so bad that he could just get some scraps of food from the rich man's table. He longed to rummage through the garbage cans. The dogs came along, and they would lick Lazarus's sores. One day, Lazarus died, and he was carried by the angels up into Abraham's lap. One day, the rich man also died, and he was buried, and he woke up in hell's flames. He looked up, and he saw Lazarus there with Abraham. And he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, would you please have Lazarus just dip his finger into water and come down here and put his finger on my tongue just to cool it a little bit, because I'm so tormented in this flame." Abraham said, "Son, all your days on earth, you had abundance and comfort, and Lazarus did not. Now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside that, there's a great gulf or a chasm between you and us. We can't come to you. You can't come to us." Then the man in hell cried out and said, "Abraham, please, at least will you send Lazarus back to earth? I've got five brothers back there, and I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Will you please have him go and testify to them so that they don't come here? Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. No, Father Abraham, but if someone would rise from the dead, they would hear. Abraham said, if they're not hearing Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear though someone rise from the dead. Do you hear the call from below? The lost people who have died and gone to hell still are calling out for someone to warn their family to repent. What do you think, folks, as you drive down Route 30, as you walk the streets of Lancaster, as you walk through the aisles at Walmart, what do you think the dead relatives of the people around you would say to you if they were standing there? Don't you hear the cry from below? Please, someone go tell my relatives. And then you have the call, the cry from outside. Trevor, if you could put up Acts 16. We have Paul. He's preaching the gospel, moving from city to city. He thought he would go to one place, but the Holy Spirit said no. They tried going to another place. The Spirit said no. And then Paul had this vision during the night. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. The call from around us, the call from outside. I'm sure all of us have come across people, lost people, who are asking for help. A lot of times this is what we hear them ask. We hear them ask, would you please buy my groceries for me? I need food. Would you help me pay the rent, put gas in my car? Would you help me with this? Would you help me with that? And it is right that we give out of our abundance. But you see, the cry to help me pay my grocery bill is the cry of their lips, but do you hear the cry of their heart? You see, the person that stands before you is also created in the image of God. He has eternity. He or she has eternity written on their hearts. They might not even know what it is they're longing for, but do you, fellow believer, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you hear the cry from outside? Do you hear the cry that comes from deep within the person's heart? I am lost and I need saving. Do you hear the cry? Come and help us. And then we have the call from inside. You see, the Lord Jesus has put his very life within us. We have the Spirit of God within us, brothers and sisters. The call from inside. I just take you briefly to Paul's writing, sharing in 1 Corinthians 9. He talks about how that he is preaching the gospel. He has been given the assignment to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 16, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. It's welling up within me. I must preach the gospel. I am under compulsion to preach the gospel. The call from inside, the life of Christ inside, speaks to us. And so many times, we just dull our ears and we walk away. But there is a call from inside. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. our new hearts burn within us, telling us that this is what we have been created to be and do. You are a fisher of men. I am a fisher of men. Do you hear the call from inside? Or will you just continue to go on with your life? Build your empires. Stack your finances. Do I hear the call? The call from above, the call from below, the call from out there, the call from in here. Whether you've been a believer, a disciple for 50 years, or whether you've been a disciple for 1 week, we all have the same call. We have been given the same assignment. And the quicker we respond to the call and move into that, the more healthy and fullness, more healthy we'll be, and the more fullness we'll experience in the kingdom of God. Shine the light. So what is it that we need? What is it that we need? You can put up Acts 1 verse 8, very familiar verse. Also, some of the last words of Jesus. What is it that we need? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. What is it that we need? We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We really do. And if I have the life of Jesus Christ within me, and yet I don't care about what's going on out there, that is a sure indication that I do not have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When I am filled with the Spirit, I will not be able to help but open my mouth and share Jesus and talk about Jesus and bring encouragement into the room. I won't be able to help but bring hope into the conversation to build up and not tear down. I need the fullness of the Spirit in order to shine the light. We all do. And so what is it that we are to do? Well, ask yourself that question. We have the commandment of Jesus. How do we shine the light this week? I have found that sometimes I need to be very intentional and even plan it. Where am I going to go? Who am I going to meet? What am I going to say? How am I going to bring hope? How can you bring some hope, a word of life? How can you bring light to the lady in the drive-through window at Arby's? How can you bring light to your coworker at work? How can you bring light to these little ones that wake up fussy sometimes in the morning? How do we bring hope into the room? Are you good news? Am I good news? We are if we're carrying the good news. Maybe, very practically, I know in this county, it's very easy to get jobs with other believers. Great places to work. But maybe we have to make some decisions to get jobs in other places where there's not believers. Be an incredible opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Well, you ask yourself, what is it you need to do? But I encourage us today, hear the call. Be filled with the Spirit. And if you're not, ask God for it. Ask God for the Holy Spirit. The last words of Jesus, go. Make disciples of every nation. I am with you to the end. In Mark, it says that the disciples then went and preached everywhere the gospel of the kingdom. And then it says this incredible statement, the Lord working with them. Isn't that amazing? The Lord working with them. They didn't go themselves. The Lord worked with them. And the Lord confirmed the gospel with signs following them. Beautiful. And he will do the same with us.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.